4. As I said this morning, for those that weren't out here, those who are in class and that, we are going to actually do the second part. We're going to actually do the second part of our message from this morning, Philippians chapter 4. If you were in class or kitchen or different things this morning, please listen to the first part of this message. It was a long message, and that's why we're doing the second part of this. I'm going to give a brief, quick overview, but I cannot re-preach what I preached this morning because we'll be here 3 hours instead of an hour and a half this morning. All right? So I do want just to go over it. We started off with reading that song, "No Anxiety." It was our heart overbound by sorrow, our minds would be occupied that which is pure thoughts, pure things. Wow. What is pure? What is pure? That without blemish. That has not been tainted. What happens when we worry, we stress, and we have anxiety? What is our mindset? Remember, we talked about illogical thinking. Is our minds pure and clean, or has it been tainted? It's been tainted. And it starts to be illogical in the way that we're thinking, in the way we did. Wait a second. What stress and worry and anxiety and depression and all the things we talked about this morning, what it does is it takes us from having that mindset of glorifying God, realizing our purpose in life is to glorify God, realize we need to have our minds renewed, realizing we need to do those things, and it changes our mindset into thinking impure thoughts. Not talking in a sexual manner and be impure, because a lot of times we think you're impure, you just think, no, impure thoughts of thinking thoughts that are not honorable to God, that are not pure ways of thinking, true ways of thinking, and we need to think. Because what happens a lot of times when you're struggling with depression and anxiety? You let the devil get in, and what does the devil start telling you? You're not worth living. You're not worth living. You're not worth anything. You're useless. You're terrible. Wait, is that the pure thoughts? Is that the true thoughts? Is that the honorable thoughts? Is that the responsible thoughts that we have? Is that the things we're supposed to have in our lives? No, it's not. But what happens is, we start thinking that way, and because the devil starts putting those lies in our lives, and we start believing those lies, and now we're not having the right mindset. We need to be renewed in our mind to realize we're a child of the King of Kings. We're loved by God. God loves us. God died for us, and God's there for us. That's why even earlier we looked at the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near you. The Lord is by you. The Lord is coming back. Don't you fret. Don't you worry. Don't you be anxious. Don't buy into the lies of the devil. Have the pure thoughts. Have the right thoughts. Have the right way of thinking, Paul was addressing them. Then it says what? What kind of thoughts? Lovely. Lovely thoughts. What are lovely thoughts? It is not talking about looking at everything through rose-colored glasses. All right? A lot of times, people think handling stress and anxiety and those things, you have to put on rose-colored glasses and pretend everything's perfect. I put on the rose-colored glasses, and I think that Rich is a very handsome guy. I take him off, and I realize he's not. All right, no, just kidding. But I'm sorry, Rich. Have to pick on you a little bit. But we look at things through. It's not talking about putting rose-colored glasses on and looking at things that way. What does it mean that things are lovely? Don't focus on the negative. Focus on the positive. One of the issues when we are going through anxiety and stress and those things is we start focusing on all the negative. And we start looking at all the negative and how bad our lives are and what the bad circumstance is and what we're facing. And then we stress upon it and then we stew upon it. And remember, we said 50% of things that we are worried about never even do come to fruition, never even do happen. And then we talked about almost 92% of them is a waste of time. There's only 8% that are real things that we should even consider, not worry about, but we should even consider in our lives. And this whole thing is, what is lovely? What is those lovely thoughts, those lovely things, not rose-colored glasses, but it's not to focus on the negative. Do you know many times in Scripture the Bible tells us not to murmur, not to complain, and be content with what we have, what we're going through, what we're facing in life? Be content with those things. Why? Because we need not to focus on the negative things of life. When we start focusing on the negative, what does that do to our mind? It changes our whole mindset. What does the Bible say? Renew your mind. How we need to remind? Think on things that are lovely. Do you know if we actually would look, there is more positive in our we're going through some hard times, even if we're going through some really bad struggles in our lives, even if we're in a pit and we can't get a way out, do you know there's still a lot more positive than negative if we change the way we're looking at things? Do you know I read a story of about an individual that found himself in a pit? He was in the pit for 4 days. He was struggling. He can't believe God would allow him to get in the pit. And why God would not send someone to help him. And what he could do and those things. And he sat there and he cried and he was upset. And he blamed God. He was mad at God. He was stressing and worrying about his situation. He says, I'm going to die here. A few minutes later, after four days, he realized he had a flashlight in his pocket. He took the flashlight out of his pocket, turned the flashlight on, and shined it around, and realized right next to him the whole time has been a staircase that he could have climbed out of the pit. But for 4 days, he never saw the staircase. For 4 days, he complained. 4 days, he was upset. 4 days, he was mad at God. 4 days, he allowed it to affect his mindset. And all he had to do is go to the light, turn on the light, and see the path out. Do you know what's true in our lives? We need to go to the light so the light can shine and show us the path, the way out. This is the renewing of the mind. This is the changing of the mind. This is having the lovely thoughts. We need to go to the Word of God, the light, which is a lamp unto my feet. It directs us, it guides us, it shows us. It's going to show you the path to get you out of what you're facing in your life. This is where we need to turn to. That which is lovely, pleasing, acceptable. That which is good report. That good report, praiseworthy. That which is gracious. Do you know we need to start praising God even in the midst of our struggles? How hard is it sometimes to praise God when things are bad? It's hard, is it not? I'll be honest. When you're going through some of the anxiety, that stress, that depression, the last thing we want to do is praise God. The last thing we want to do is be around people that are bubbly. We want to strangle them when we see them. Because, man, it must be nice. They never go through the problems I'm going through. I can't believe they don't have any anxiety or stress. I can't believe I've never seen that person not happy. Does that person just have a golden life or what? That's the mindset that we go through. That's the thinking we go through. That's what we're struggling with. And when people are going through this, we don't want to praise God. But what do we need when we're going through it? We need to praise God because it gets our focus off our problems, our stress, our worry, and puts our focus upon God. Do you know when you're going through some hard times, you don't want to be around people, do you? But what do you need more than anything? You need to be around people. They said the worst thing for a person going through depression is to seclude themselves from the rest of the world. But when you're going through depression, what's your illogical way of thinking? That's the best place to be because I can just be alone in my own little environment and I can control, and this is why we do it, because now I can control my environment. If I'm outside of my little bubble, my little box, I cannot control my environment, and because I can't control my environment, that's just going to make my anxiety even higher. That's going to make my depression even higher. No, it's going to actually help your depression. It's going to help your anxiety because you're going to get around people that are there to lift you up because we remember, let your moderation. In the beginning, what did Paul say? Let your moderation. What does that mean? We need to be sweet people to come alongside those that are in this pit, that is in the struggling, shine the light for them if we have to so they can see the stairs and get out of the pit. And we need to be around people when we're going through this to get the help we need, the support we need. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Got to think the right way. We got to think the right way. So let's think the right way for a moment. We looked at the pure thoughts, the honest thoughts, those things. Let's think the right way. When you're going through your struggles, who are you? Who are you? You are still a child of the King of Kings. That has not changed. If you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, when you're going through your pit, when you're going through your struggles, when you're going through what you're facing, remember this. You are still His child. You're still saved by the blood of the Lamb. You are still His. Remember number two. You're still His and you're still loved. Number three. You're still His, you're still loved, and He's still there for you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what struggles you're facing, no matter if you try to do certain things to your life to harm yourself and do those things, no matter if you've gone through some of the things that you've gone through, no matter if you made attempts and didn't make attempts, no matter what you've gone through, remember, God is still there for you. Renew your mind. Change your way of thinking. Have the pure thoughts. Have the honest thoughts. Have the lovely thoughts. Think of the right things. Don't let the devil cloud your mindset. Remember, He still is there. He hasn't left you. Because in that pit, just as some men in the Bible days realized, they weren't alone in the fire. Remember, they threw three men in. But when they looked and they saw, did they see three? They saw four. Who was in the midst of them in the fiery furnace? It was Jesus right there in the fiery furnace. They weren't alone. We got to remember we're not alone in the furnace, in the fiery furnace we're facing. We're not alone in the struggles that you're going through. You're not alone. Jesus is in the midst. He's right there with you as His child. Remember that He is yours. You're still a child. Remember He loves you. Remember He is right there with you. And remember, no matter what, He is always there, and He will take care of you and give you the strength, the help you need. Not only is He in the midst, He is there to dig you out of the pit. What does that mean? Many times in our lives, we find ourselves, and our way of thinking is wrong. We try to change our way of thinking. But what do we try to do? We try to dig ourselves out of the pit. Oh, we know God's in the midst of us, and we're glad God's right there, but we forget He's the one that can dig us out. So this is what we do. Now, some of you don't understand this, but you'll realize this. We have real toothpicks back there. This day and age, most of the plastic things and that, we got real ones. How many ever tried to dig with a toothpick before? Not your teeth, all right? I'm talking in the ground. Now, you say, well, that's silly. Why would we dig with a toothpick? Well, do you know in the older days, you know what they dug with? Pieces of wood. They would take a piece of wood. They would shape the piece of wood. Now, I know we have wood handles now with the metal and some of you even different types of metals so they won't break and chip and all that. But in the old days, you know what they did? They would shape a handle and they would shape a spade type look at the end. And that's what they would use to dig. Now, if you were going to use that, what would you choose? A toothpick or a shovel that was carved with a spade? Well, aren't they both wood? Aren't they both wood? Yeah, they are. But we know we would choose the one that looked more like a shovel, that we think of a shovel, and the bigger one, because we know that would help us more. I want you to see this. A lot of times, we try to use a toothpick to get us out of the trouble we're facing, instead of tapping into the strength of God and using the shovel that God provides. You know what we need to do? Realize God gives us what we need. And God is there, not just in the midst of us, but he's there to help dig us out of it. Not only is there to help dig us out of it, he wants us out of it. I want you to keep this in mind as you're going through your struggles, your worries. God does not want you in the state of depression, stress, worry, and anxiety. God does not want us there. The Bible tells us he does not want us to have the spirit of what? Fear. Worry is fear. He wants us to have the power of a sound mind. That's the renewing mind. And what's this power of the sound mind? It is one that has faith over fear. God does not want you in the state of fear. He doesn't want you in that place. He doesn't want you to have that stress. He doesn't want you to have the anxiety. Because if we're in that place of stress and anxiety and depression, how effective are we going to be for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? We started off with this. How effective are we going to be? We're not going to be effective for him. He wants us to live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We're to have this faith. Take what you've been taught. Take what you learned. Take what you're supposed to. Follow my example, Paul says, and do this. We're to live by faith. Now, again, when we're going through this, it's hard to live by faith. That is why we need people to come alongside us in that sweet way that we talked about in the beginning and help us live by faith. So, as I'm going through the stress and anxiety in my life and depression in my life, how do I switch my mindset? The pure thoughts we talked about, the lovely thoughts, all the things, but how do I start living by faith? You know what it starts with? Just doing it. And it's slow steps. It's slow steps to get myself back to where I'm trusting God and living by faith in my life. A lot of times what we do is we find ourselves in the pit. We get God to help us and he dig us out, if you will. We have that victory. God's in the midst. And then we start going through our lives and we think, well, now that I'm out of the pit, I got to take this big, giant leap from here all the way over here. And what happens is we start going really, whoo! I mean, everything, gusto. I mean, we're going. And then we're trying to get there, and we're here. And then we find ourselves falling right back and find ourselves in the pit because we aren't taking the baby steps to get back and trusting God as we should. How many ever try to do anything cold turkey before? Now, that works for some, but most people, that approach does not work. All right? That approach doesn't work. We need to take slow steps by faith. If your kid loses your trust, what do you have to start seeing in them? Daily, small little things to build that trust back up. And that's the same concept of having that faith for God. It's the small steps. Start doing the small steps to build that faith back up and trust in God. So I got to trust God over the small stuff in my life first before I can start trusting God as I should with the big stuff. All right? That means I'm trusting God that he'll give me the strength to do some simple things in my life. And I'll trust him for the simple. As my faith grows, it's not just the simple things I'm trusting for him. I'm trusting him in some things that are a little bigger and a little harder, but I'm able to trust him. But as I trust him in that, and I see God's hand, and I see God's provision, I see how God takes care of it, I'm now at this place that I have cancer in my life. But I can trust God for the cancer that I'm facing. Because I built that faith, that trust back here, and it continued to build upon itself. And now, instead of stressing and worrying over the cancer that I'm facing, I'm trusting God, I'm praising God, I have patience, and I have prayer with thanksgiving, and I have the right mindset, I'm thinking on the right things, and I'm praising God through this. I'm not focused on the negative, I have the lovely thoughts, I'm thinking the right way, because I've started and I've strengthened my faith, and my faith is in God. And that's why I can have victory. Happens this. I'm back over here, and I haven't built that faith. That cancer hits. What do? I start stressing and worrying, and I allow that to cause more harm in my life, and it brings myself back down in the pit because I haven't built those basic baby steps of faith to strengthen my faith, to grow in my faith so I can strong. That's why some believers, you notice, they handle things different than the way you handle it and I handle it. Why? Because they have spiritually matured in their Christian faith. And maybe I haven't spiritually matured my Christian faith as I should. Spiritual maturity is a key in having stress and anxiety. And the more immature we are, please don't take this the wrong way, but the more immature we are spiritually, the more we'll stress and worry and anxiety to get the best of us. And find ourselves in depression, find ourselves in self-harm, find ourselves in suicide attempts, find ourselves in certain things because we are not spiritually mature where we need to be. We got to get the coping mechanisms to deal with what we're facing. We've given several coping mechanisms in the ways we think, the way we need to do things, the way we need to approach God, the way our faith we need to grow. Do you know what bottom line we need to do? We need to find that which replaces the wrong way of thinking with the right way of thinking. And that starts with being in God's Word. Now, we talked about faith, we talked about all those things, but I want to go scale it all the way back to a simple thought. What I found out, and this is very loosely because it's religious, I don't even call it Christian, religious pull, that those that claim to have a religious affiliation and struggle with anxiety, stress, depression. Do you know 75 to 80% of them say they never read God's Word? I mentioned this morning, I talked to one of the camps that we've gone to in the past. And they talked about how many people that came forward and they dealt with this last summer that was either self-harm or those type of things. They asked them, how many of them have a regular devotional life? And he said the best they could calculate, they said probably out of all those they did, maybe 3 to 5% had a regular devotional life. See, we need to go back to the basics and to the scriptures, because I'm not going to spiritually mature and grow, and that I'm going to struggle with anxiety and depression, and that if I'm not in God's Word, because I'm not getting fed, I'm not getting what I need, and now my focus is on my problems instead of focus upon God. So then he ends with this. You need to do it. Here's the vice. Do it. Here's what's going to help you, Church of Philippi. Here's what's going to help you. I've laid it out for you. I've shown you it. I've taught you it. You've heard it. You've seen it. Now do it. You got to do it. As I started off, how many get medication and don't take it all. Take it all and continue to do it. You need to do it. How many of us know what we need to do? We've been taught what we're supposed to do, but we don't do it. That's what this is talking about. It's doing it. You know what was said about Timothy? Timothy was taught by grandma and mother, and they said what? He did what they taught him to do. We need to take what we're taught to do, what we've seen to do, and start doing it. Now, I want to say this. Just because you haven't done it does not mean you're a terrible, wicked person. It means you are just like everyone else in this room, a sinner saved by grace that needs God's help to get victory in your life. And we need to go back to the basics so we can move forward for the glory of God and praise Him and thank Him and see God do great things in our lives. Live by faith. Trust God. Choose faith over worry. Have the peace of God. Look real quickly. And the last part of verse 9, and the God of peace shall be with you. God does not want you to have an unsettled heart. God does not want you to be in misery. Remember, we said what? We said earlier in the message this morning, we said that stress and anxiety will rob you from the peace of God and cause you to be in a state of misery or a miserable state. God does not want us to be in that miserable state. God wants you to have peace. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the messages we've heard this morning and this afternoon. Lord, I pray